Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss films that have queer women in them, non-binary, trans, of that spectrum.
Yes. The queer spectrum that doesn't really include gay men, cis gay men.
Yeah. One day we will get this, folks.
It's complicated. We be complicated people.
It's a complicated thing.
We just don't like cis men.
I love rainbows.
Me too. Rainbows are great.
You know what I didn't love?
What?
This movie.
Me either. Hard dislike. Thumbs down.
So the movie we're going to talk about is one that on a recent Twitter poll questionnaire, I asked, what is your least favorite gay movie? And I think at least three of you piped in with this one, which is A Perfect Ending.
Least perfect. It should be called.
Shittiest ending.
Yes.
Shittiest overall film.
Mm-hmm. Shittiest story. Shittiest cinematography. Audio was real bad.
Oh, the audio was weird.
It was weird. The music sucked.
The audio really threw me off.
Me too, because it was I think at points where it was supposed to be really dramatic, they slowed it down to the point where it just sounded pixelated or something weird. Like when she was orgasming.
Yes, they did slow down parts to make it seem longer and not just in the sex.
There were other parts too. That's just the one that came to mind.
So actually, this was directed by Nicole Kahn, who did Elena Undone.
Another movie I didn't like as well. I liked that movie better. I liked it better than this one.
But let's not go too far. Yeah.
Well, this was made in, 2012?
Yeah.
And when was Elena Undone made? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
No,
maybe. I forget.
Whatever. Also in the 2010s.
Ish. Yeah. I think it's around that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised at what movies get funded. Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, not to bash queer movies, but this movie's not good.
It's not very good.
No. It also seems very male-gazy to me. Although you said a woman directed it, so. I don't know. That sex scene just did not.
In the vein of male gaze.
Yeah. Maybe she had some males around her.
Perhaps.
Telling her what to do. I don't know.
So, essentially, this is about a housewife. A lonely housewife named Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Poor Rebecca. Poor rich white Rebecca.
Rebecca. That's not a t-shirt.
We have so many t-shirts to make.
Witch? I just said witch instead of rich and white.
No, witches are cooler than
riches. Definitely cool. She's a lonely housewife. Who has an abundance of lesbian friends and somehow didn't realize that she might want to, fuck one of them. Anyway.
Yeah, it, never occurred to her that she, she's never had an orgasm in her life, apparently.
Yeah.
It never occurred to her to ever do anything except sleep with dudes, and specifically one dude, her husband, who is the biggest fucking douchebag in the history of time. He's the dad from Home Alone. Which kind of threw me off.
Holy shit!
I was like, no!
No!
Mr. McAllister!
Give me that dad back.
Yeah.
I love Mr. McAllister.
He's definitely better than, what's his face? Mason.
Ew. I'm gonna barf on myself.
Mason is a disgusting human being.
My childhood was just ruined.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh well, it's over.
Yeah. It's already over, so it doesn't matter.
It's over. And basically, one of Rebecca's lesbian friends, I didn't take anyone's name down in this film.
No, I didn't take any notes.
Is like, oh, hey, my cousin owns a...
Escort service.
Why don't we hook you up with a girl? Because the girl knows what to do because the girl has a vagina, is what she says.
Basically.
She's saying that. I'm not.
Yeah.
And I just want to be clear. There are girls that have penises. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Important note.
So, basically.
But in this movie, there are no girls that have penises.
No,
it's really just cis women.
Yeah.
And white cis women.
Except for Paris.
Paris.
So Paris is
But
the
she's
sex worker.
Very exoticized.
Oh my God,
which
so
is
much.
Really cringy.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
So the way this movie starts out is just a bunch of dot drawings yeah. or something like that.
I was
that.
Really confused at the opening. I was like, what the hell is what is this? Is someone trying to write with dots? But actually, it's kind of cool art. Like,
yeah,
the art,
I do like it.
It's probably the best part of the movie.
The only thing I don't like about it is that it's always like overlaid with Paris crying in a white room with a white table.
Yeah.
With white presents.
She's crying over a man.
Yeah.
Her dead husband.
Her dead husband, who she might have accidentally killed. Spoiler alert. So there, the whole movie is like interspersed with these really stupid ass melodramatic scenes of Paris crying
so much
in a white room, and she's wearing like a black negligee.
Yeah, and she's drawing.
Yeah,
drawing her grief.
She's and it's just kind of like, what is the point of this? Is it
not that there's anything wrong with drawing your grief?
No, just to say.
But yeah,
I meant the scenes themselves in which she's not drawing, and which she's just in that room crying.
I know what you're talking about now. Like, yeah, those are different scenes.
Yeah, because it's like, what is she? Is that like what Paris thinks in her head when she's crying?
Yeah, is she like alone in her head
sure
in a white room?
Yeah, because she sure as hell doesn't go into a white room with a black negligee and cry. So it's just kind of like, what is the point of this?
You know what?
In the movie,
I can totally see the parallels with that specifically to Elaine Undone because of all those weird melodramatic flashbacks where the mom was telling her like really bad life lessons.
Oh right. Oh my god,
that was also
why?
Really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some.
Please tell me she didn't make any more movies.
I'm sure she did, but I just don't know.
I don't want to watch them.
I don't know anybody off the top of my head. So basically, Rebecca is just looking for passion.
She wants to have an orgasm.
And an orgasm.
She admits to her friends she's never had an orgasm. She's also dying of cancer, but no one knows that yet.
Yeah. That's something that's, like, held over us the whole time.
Yeah.
There's, like, a cancer diagnosis.
Right, and
like,
you don't know who it is at first.
Yeah. Throughout, like, the whole movie. It starts in the beginning, too, and you're like,
there's just a doctor being like, oh, you're terminally ill, blah, blah, blah. But you don't know who the doctor's talking to. And apparently the doctor just violated patient confidentiality and just, like, told the husband.
No, they found, or I thought they found a medical, like one of her medical documents in his office or something like that.
Yeah, but didn't he get that from the doctor?
Perhaps. I have
because
to fully
I
admit
thought he
I skipped
said,
through this film.
Yeah, well, I also had it on in the background while I was doing other things. I was like doing my PT exercises and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but you're right. That is a HIPAA violation.
Yeah. He was like, oh, I went to see Dr. whatever his face. Because Rebecca was like, how long have you known? And he was like, oh, I went to see the doctor. And I was like, did the doctor fucking tell you? Like, what?
They can't do that. They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's basically, Rebecca's like, YOLO, need an orgasm.
Yeah.
And.
But she still is super uptight about it. Like, the first two times. So the first time she agrees to meet the escort, she says she wants someone her own age.
Yeah.
But the person who they're going to send has something come up. So she sends Paris instead. And Paris is, I guess she's 29, but she looks like she's 17 or something. She looks so young. And that really throws Rebecca off.
Yeah.
She kind of freaks out and is like, I'm not going to pay you, blah, blah, blah. So she just leaves. And then somehow they set up another meeting.
She tries it again.
Yeah.
And her original.
Because I think she then wanted Paris to come again.
Yeah. So the original, she made a second appointment thinking that Paris would come. But the original person came because she said the same one who was there last time.
Right,
but the manager at the escort service doesn't know that.
That Paris went instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like,
and then
God
she's
damn
like,
it.
No, I don't want someone my own age. I want this, like,
hottie with a body.
This hottie with a body. So go away. So bye. Finally.
On the fourth, their fourth time.
Is it the fourth
meet,
one?
Yeah, oh, the fourth time that she and Paris meet, they kiss.
Why draw this out so much?
So,
they don't even have sex until like 3/4 of the way through the movie.
Yeah.
I think. I don't
know.
Yeah,
no. That,
it was
that,
like
that's
really
about
fucking
right.
long.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of, like, I don't know, Paris is very exoticized.
Yeah. Also, it's implied that because her husband died, she has all this trauma, and that's the reason why she has to work as an escort.
Yeah, which I think is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it is bullshit.
A lot of escorts are escorts because they want to be. Or
yeah. Well, she says at one point, she's like, I pulled on $200,000 a year. I make my own schedule. But Rebecca also has that stigma. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't want to do this.
Mm-hmm. I would say Rebecca's also like in her late 50s.
Yeah, she's definitely older.
Maybe early 60s.
Yeah.
So there's a big age gap between them. So there's a lot of...
Which isn't inherently bad.
No, but I just mean like, in terms of ideas. Or,
oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Like generational ideas of
generational
what it
ideas.
Means to... Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know I love a May-December romance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all here for Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor. So I also love one. As long as it's pure...
Well, pure and true.
Yes, true. Well, I don't know. Whatever. The point is, this is not one I'm into.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that Rebecca's probably a bit more conservative in her thoughts than Paris would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of flying around. Yeah. Paris is like, I run my own life. Thanks.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of other family drama, which was another thing in Elaine Undone. Like, all this peripheral family drama that made it, like, there were way too many things going on.
I was
going
to say, there's too much peripheral drama in general. There's way too much going on. So there's the tension between, not necessarily tension, never mind. There's an issue between Mason, the father, and his stepdaughter.
Yeah. So Rebecca has a daughter from a previous marriage.
Yeah.
Who Mason sexually assaulted.
Yep.
It's implied that he straight up fucking raped her.
Yeah.
And then nobody ever talked about it. And he is defensive about it. Yeah. He's like, that was one night. And he literally says, that was one night. Oh, my God. I can't believe you won't let it go. And even she's like... We won't talk about that, which obviously that's not to victim blame, like she went through trauma. But with him, it's just like, fuck you, dude, you should be in jail.
Yeah,
in fucking jail.
Yeah. And he definitely shows preferential treatment to his blood children.
He has a whole speech about how his sons are his blood and she's not his blood.
And almost like it doesn't matter that I raped her.
Yes.
In a sense.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Because it's not like she's actually my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And that's fucking gross.
Yeah, it's really fucking gross.
So.
He's a disgusting human being.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like anything had been done about it. Like, the daughter hasn't gotten, like, therapy or anything like that. Because, obviously, he would be in fucking jail.
Yeah. Well, he probably wouldn't be. Because he's a rich white dude.
That's true.
But maybe... they would have pressed charges. I don't know.
I'm surprised that she still lives there.
Like, yeah.
I would have to... If you were living with your abuser...
Oh, my God.
But I... No, I think she's in her 20s. But I don't know.
The kids seem like they're adults. I'm actually surprised any of them live there.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of them's engaged to be married, right?
Yeah.
Do they all live there?
That's what it seems like.
So weird.
And that's another tension.
And they're so rich, like, they could easily just move out.
And that's another point of contention is that basically this is a semi-arranged marriage.
It is?
Sort of. I didn't realize it's not that. Like the dad had told his oldest son to like he should really marry this girl, and he basically like influenced him to marry the woman that he's going to marry, and like he was dating her, but it's not like. And it's mostly because the two companies can merge, so her family's business and their family business.
I missed that whole layer, but it doesn't surprise
so
me.
So again,
all.
It's another like why? Why is this in the movie? So there's tension of various sorts within the family.
Yeah.
But most specifically between, I feel like, the daughter and her mom, and the daughter and her stepfather. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Mason and Rebecca.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's really gross how much women just give to men in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a fan.
Speak more on that. What are you?
Okay. So there's a lot of heterosex, actually, in this movie.
There's a ton.
Which I was not here for. I was like, where's the gay? Stop with this stupid bullshit. Men are kind of like... given a lot of leeway, the male characters, even if they're not main characters, like Paris's clients and stuff. I feel like they're treated like they, like in a sympathetic way that I don't like. And I just like, really hate Mason.
Like they're hurt men, and that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Act shittily.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, these men, like, oh, they need the comfort of women.
Of boobs.
Okay, should we talk about boobs? Because holy boobness, there is so much boob in this movie.
Like, so once they start having sex, yeah, like, they don't stop having sex for a while.
But it's, like, really porny.
Yes.
It's not, like, well, last week we were talking about Watermelon Woman. Mm-hmm. And that sex scene, which was also super erotic. But this, it was not like porn. This just feels like porn.
Yeah, and it felt super choreographed, which is something that we didn't feel like it was in Watermelon Woman.
Right. And, like, not that there's anything wrong with choreographing a sex scene. I think that can actually be really useful, especially in, like, creating a comfortable environment for the actors. Absolutely. And so sometimes that can actually translate to a better sex scene, but not in this case.
Maybe with some better actors.
Maybe. Or, like, yeah, I don't know. There's just, it was just really a lot of boobs.
Yeah.
Ton of tits. For a long time. And also, I don't know. I just felt like everything in this movie dragged out, but even the sex scene dragged out. It was so long, like that first one where she was having an orgasm finally. And there just was like, it was just so much. And I just, I was over it.
Yeah.
I was like, can we move on?
And then like they,
I want to be done with this movie.
Yeah. And it's like, they drag that first one out and then they keep like coming back. And it's kind of like, I don't want to watch them have sex anymore.
I know, which is, it's sad. It's like, I want to want it, but I don't.
And then of course there's more tension when they start to catch feelings for one another. Mm-hmm. And basically, Paris doesn't see any of her other clients. She's only seeing Rebecca.
Yeah. Is Rebecca still paying her at that point? She is,
I was just about to ask you because I'm not really sure.
I hope so. Yeah. I don't know. If she's like not manipulating, what am I? That's not the right word. Like usurping all of her time.
Yeah.
And taking it away from her other clients.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily the case because Paris sits down with her like manager essentially.
Oh.
And her manager's like, you can't do this, you have to stop. Like, I don't care if she's paying you or not. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to see other people. That's just how it goes.
Right.
And like, especially to avoid having an emotional attachment to a client.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but I don't want to stop. And it's just like, okay, well.
Too late. You already have the emotional attachment.
Maybe this isn't the best kind of line of work for you.
I would say if you want a way better representation of someone who works in the sex industry who isn't, well, is a dominatrix and doesn't actually have sex, but like does sexual stuff, BDSM stuff. You should read Whip Smart by Melissa Phoebos. It's really, really good. She was a dominatrix for a long time in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she wrote a memoir about it called Whip Smart. And it's also kind of about her time. She was in school and, like, excelling in school. She was also really addicted to drugs. But it's not just a super downer. She's an amazing writer. I actually just saw her read. She was at AWP, which I just got back from today. So it's still, like, very much on my mind. She's my favorite writer probably of all time, and I like got an awkward selfie with her.
Nice.
I was like, hey, can I take a picture with you? I saw her in the hallway and she was like, sure. But she wrote a really good book called Whip Smart, and also her other memoir, Abandon
Me. Do you think it's like semi autobiographical or is it a memoir?
It's a memoir. It's a straight up memoir. Yeah.
Nice.
About her time as a dominatrix in New York City.
Nice.
So, yeah, read that instead of watching this movie.
If you want to get some understanding of what it's like to be a bisexual or queer.
Yeah, she's definitely queer. She's engaged to be married to a woman.
Nice.
They're so cute. I don't stalk them. It's all public. It's all public on Instagram.
It's all public.
Anyway.
Yeah, I just, let's just be real. I just hate this movie.
Yeah,
me
too.
I barely put any notes down. One of the notes I'm like laughing at is, why is she always running out so melodramatically? So before they, Rebecca and Paris even like kiss, they always meet in the same hotel room. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's always like, I can't, and like shoves money at her and then runs away. And she runs away in like a way that in which you'd think someone is fake running. Like, they're running to like slow down, and then she like throws stuff on the ground and like drops shit, and she's like, oh no, I'm so flustered. Your boobs made me flustered. So like that just kind of shit where I'm like, just looking at it like, this is fucking dumb.
Okay, the more we talk about this, the more I realize this movie is basically the same thing as Elena Undone. Because it's also, like, a stifled housewife character. I think I blocked out most of Elena Undone because I hated that movie, too.
No, you're totally right.
But, yeah, it's basically the same story. Except for in Elena Undone, what's her name? It's not Elena. It's the other woman. What's her name?
Peyton. Fuck.
Peyton's not an escort. She's just a real forward lesbian.
Yes, real forward lesbian doesn't get paid for the sex, but is still probably as good as Paris. Probably. I don't know.
And that one had the longest kiss scene ever in cinematic history.
Yes.
So this director loves long sex things.
It's
or
like
body sexual things-ish.
I truly believe less is more.
Yes, especially... especially in certain situations like this one.
Quality over quantity, for sure.
You can have a long quality scene, like in Watermelon Woman. That was a pretty long scene. Yeah. Not quite as long as this.
But, like, I think there were, like, 6 or 7 sex scenes in this film.
Yeah, they don't need to be there.
But, like, I don't... Yeah. One or two, mm-hmm. I can see. Like, those were meaningful, mm-hmm. I guess. And then the other ones are more like, haha, we're so
It's really voyeuristic. It's like, it's almost like they did that just for selling it purposes.
Yeah.
You know how sex sells. You know, I've heard. Sex sells.
Boobs.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
especially,
definitely.
Especially boob sex. Like,
hot, racy, boob action.
Boobs on boobs, literally.
Boobs on boobs.
There was a lot of boobs on boobs in this.
Nip to nip.
Yep. A lot of it.
Oh, yeah. Though I did like kind of how the way this movie ends. So, spoiler alert, Rebecca dies.
Can't have a lesbian movie without a lesbian death.
At least she died of, like, cancer, not getting, like, killed.
Shot.
So she dies, and then there's, like, a funeral when, like, all of the kids find out about Paris or something like that. Or maybe they find out before. I don't know. But then,
I don't remember when they find out about her.
But then Paris has done all of this artwork with all of her dot paintings. And...
Has
I like
thought
a
that
gallery
was weird.
Showing.
It's like, why are you having a gallery showing at a funeral?
So was it at the funeral?
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But no, the thing about it that I liked is that the daughter goes up to Paris and she says, like, I feel like I never really got to know my mom. I've always known my mom as a black and white person, but like I clearly didn't know her the way you did, and I want to know more about the woman she was before she died, which I found really heartwarming.
It's also just kind of heartbreaking, though.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's like, well, she's dead now, so, like, you never will know, really.
Yeah, and she spent most of her life, like, what, probably...
Repressed.
All but a month of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, repressed as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Like, about her sexuality, but also just literally everything in her life.
Yeah, she even says at some part of the movie, like, being perfect is the only thing Mason and I have in common.
Yeah, she also has a whole speech in bed one day when they're, like, doing pillow talk about how she doesn't like her body. She was never pretty enough or skinny enough. She never... That bothered me, that scene where she was like, I never looked like you.
Oh, she says that?
Yeah, she says that to Paris, and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah. I hate that.
Like, stop trying to
don't compare
pretend
yourself.
Like lesbians just compare each other's bodies in yeah. bed.
That's, like, one of the things I... Well, probably the thing I don't like about Carol either is when Carol looks down at
yeah.
her and she says, I never looked like that.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
I'm sure... Well, okay. So, in a way, it might be realistic. I mean, women, we compare...
We are
ourselves to each other.
We're like, trained to
we're,
compare.
Yeah, we're socialized to
yeah,
do that.
Socialized, yeah.
But when you put that in a movie and you like make it part of the sex scene, it's just like it just contributes to that.
Yeah, you can still tell someone they're beautiful in a way yeah. that's not comparative.
Right, exactly.
To your own body
yeah.
or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not do that?
Yeah. Do better, man.
Do better.
Do better.
yeah, this movie sucked.
Yeah,
all of
highly recommend
Twitter.
Not watching. Although it's on Netflix, so if you have Netflix, you don't have to pay extra to watch it.
That's true. I was just thinking in the car the other day. I was like saying because I've been meaning to say, you know, where we watch these films, so
yeah.
our listeners can access them as well.
Yeah,
I
try to remember.
I was thinking like, and it's free on Netflix, and I was like, no, it's not free.
Netflix isn't free, but it almost feels free because it's like the kind of thing you've just had forever and you just keep paying for. Or
yeah.
you're like me and you just usurp your parents' account.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you get Kristen Stewart vibes from the daughter?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Did you think she might be a gay?
I don't know.
Like the character?
No, I think it's just her face. I was like, oh, I kind of get K-Stew vibes from her. But maybe just because...
Like that she looks
that
like
she looks
her?
Like her a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
But also, I just have
like
Kristen Stewart on my mind because I literally just saw her in person.
I think they could play sisters for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so tell us about your K-Stew experience.
Also at AWP, went to a reading.
Yeah.
One of my favorite writers,
yeah.
T. Kira Madden, ooh. Read. Another writer named Jakira Diaz, who has a book coming out in October called Ordinary Girls, read from her forthcoming book. Both amazing. And Lydia Yuknovich was there. She's also a really good writer. And this is a great story. And then Kristen Stewart was there. And Kristen Stewart is adapting Lydia Yuknovich's memoir, The Chronology of Water, into a movie. Mm-hmm. So I
so
don't
she
know. Well,
that's interesting. So will this be her first, like...
I don't think she's going to be in it. I think she's just...
Screenplay, like,
I don't know if she's writing
or...
it. I think she's producing it. Maybe yeah. she's, like, directing it. I'm not sure.
That's interesting.
But, yeah, I had a real gay panic moment. I texted Alicia, and I was, like, in all caps, I was, like, I'm in a room with Kristen Stewart. What do I do? And Alicia texted back right away, being, like, take a deep breath. What else did you say? You were, like, calm down.
Yeah.
I can't remember what you said.
I said, give her a business card, because
oh,
obviously
yeah.
we got to represent. Don't die, and
yes.
don't touch her.
Yeah, I did none of those things, actually, because as soon as I was done freaking out, she was gone.
That's okay.
So it was actually the best thing that could have happened.
Yes, yes.
But I was very, very excited for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was like, she was part of your gay awakening.
She was.
Imagine that fucking happening to you.
I was like, what the fuck is Kristen Stewart doing in Portland, Oregon at Powell's Books?
Being a gay.
Being a gay.
Duh.
She's great. I don't want to, like...
Yeah. But that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I would flip my shit if I
yeah.
saw someone. I
remained outwardly calm, I think.
She's like,
I was outwardly calm. I was.
Yeah.
I was literally just staring at my phone. Because I was freaking out and I needed
yeah.
to talk to you.
I'm just playing it cool on my phone. Just
playing
it cool.
Hey,
oh,
just playing
hey.
It cool.
Hey, Kristen, what's
oh,
up?
Hey,
I mean,
hi.
My name's Sarah. I just know your name because you're famous. I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have let it
I'm
back.
Sure she gets
can
that
can
like a thousand times a day.
Can we rewind? I'll just like come back and do this again. I'm
yeah.
just like, hi.
No,
I'm
I didn't
Sarah.
Talk to her. I didn't do anything except just spot her. And then she disappeared like a true fairy gay. Just into the ether.
It's with her wings.
With her wings. She flew away to Gayland, and I hope she's happy there.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Do you have anything else to add for this train wreck of a movie?
No.
Me either. You could watch it or don't on Netflix.
If you do, if you have watched it or if you decide to watch it against our advice, then you can email us or something about it.
Yeah, or like tweet us your least favorite part.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you really hate this film? Because that question was so funny. I like was laughing forever reading all the responses to that. Yeah, so email us at galpalswatch.
At gmail.com?
Yes, sorry. Or Instagram at galpalswatch.
Or Twitter at galpalswatch.
Woo!
We're consistent with our branding.
We've done it.
Yes.
Cut that Tumblr part out.
Yep.
Just so we're
no confident. More Tumblr.
No more Tumblr. Sorry, folks, if you liked it.
Or if you liked our non-existent Tumblr.
If you liked my very infrequent updates. All right, anyway.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe.
Oh, yeah, we never say that either.
You know.
One day we'll get it.
One day. And as always, keep it gay!